WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Welsh-born rocker Dave Edmunds has just released his first studio album under his own name in 5 years. During most of the 80s, Edmunds was busy producing other people, including the Fabulous Thunderbirds, the Stray Cats, and K.D. Lang. He also produced comeback albums for the Everly Brothers and Dion. On March 7th, Edmunds begins a 24-city tour called the Dave Edmunds Rock and Roll Review. It features Dion, Graham Parker, and Kim Wilson of the Fabulous Thunderbirds. Edmunds' career in rock and roll began in England in the late 60s as the singer and guitarist for the group Love Sculpture. In the 70s, he became known for his solo recordings and his playing with bassist Nick Lowe and their group Rockpile. Edmunds' new record on Capitol is called Closer to the Flame. From the new album, here's King of Love. Let's go! Stuck really close to the roots of rock and roll?
Not really, I don't think so. I think I've done all kinds of things. I've done a bit of bluegrass and country I've flirted with sometimes, and just out and out pop stuff. Although it's, for some reason, people keep saying that all the time, you just stick to the basics of rock, and I don't think I actually do, but it's just that I'm known for that, if anything. Have I blown your question?
No, not at all. I'm interested in what you grew up listening to.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. Well, you grew up in Wales, right? I mean, what was the radio like there?
Oh, there was BBC, and there was nothing at all musical or not popular music of anything. What we used to get was Radio Luxembourg. It was a European station. It used to go all over Europe, and they used to play all the American stuff. That's what everyone used to listen to then.
I remember in the States during the British invasion. Everybody would try to sing and sometimes even talk with a British accent because people were so taken with the sound of the British groups. When you were young and in Wales, did you try to sing with an American accent?
I think I still do. It sounds very natural for me to sing with an American accent. Not quite as natural as it seems for Mick Jagger, because he goes a bit over the top with it, doesn't he? But sometimes it seems right, you know, and I don't think about it. It just comes out that way.
Do you ever think that Brits are even more into early rock and roll than a lot of Americans are?
Yes.
Well, what way is that?
I think it had more effect on us. England was like, way back in the 50s, it was like when I was a kid growing up, it was like England was black and white in like a film. You know, it was all very depressing, and there wasn't much fun to be witnessed socially. Whereas in America, you had all that stuff, and it was reflected in the music. And when kids in England heard that stuff, it was a real breath of fresh air. It had more of an effect because it was we were sharing a culture in a way, and being affected by a different culture, which seemed like a hell of a lot of fun.
In the mid 70s, you were part of like the roots rock movement in England, you know, pub rock and new wave. And I'm thinking of, you know, the work you did on your own and with Rockpile. What did you think of what rock had become by then?
I don't think I've ever sat down to think about what rock has become. Especially in the early 70s, I mean, we were into pub rock because we were always all down the pub, you know. That was basically what it was. You went down the pub all the time, and guys like Nick Lowe and all the people I knew, when they weren't out on the road travelling and working, there was pub gigs developed in London where the bands had just set up and play for perhaps less than they normally would go out for, or even more in some cases if they weren't doing too well. And basically it was going down the pub and not thinking about the state of rock and roll. Far from it.
Let me play something that you recorded in the late 70s, mid-70s. This is Trouble Boys, and this is from one of your albums with basically the Rockpile band behind you. Would you say something about this record?
Yeah, it was released as a single in England, and it was Billy Bremner's song, and it is Rockpile. back in the air.
The trouble boys came in. I guess they'd been out fighting and raving. It wasn't long before they moved in. I picked up the girls we brought to the dance at the night spot. It was a tan, so I had to move fast to get my baby back from the trouble boys. 25 guys from the east side of the city. Kings of hell racing in the neighborhood. Well, one of them walked up and started dancing with my girl who was crying, 'cause I didn't stop him. All I could say to my baby was, honey, this man is bigger than the both of us. He's a trouble boy. And his trouble boys all around me. No one likes getting sand kicked in the face. I don't know anyone to stand face to face with the trouble boy.
You started producing records in the 1970s, and I think you basically apprenticed while you had access to a studio in Wales.
Yeah.
How did you get access to the studio? Was it friends of yours who ran it?
Yeah, what it was about 40 miles from my hometown of Cardiff. There's a little marketing town called Monmouth, and there was two guys who had a band. Their names were Kingsley Ward, Charles and Kingsley Ward, and they set up a little studio in a potato loft. So I just sort of teamed up with them, and in fact went to live in the area and started using the studio and learning how to make records. I had this thing about I wanted to play all the instruments myself. I don't know why. Just to have control over it all, I suppose. And that was the perfect way to do it, without any pressure of, like, booking studio time and all that. I just sort of... It was like sort of coming in the back door of the recording industry. Which I found a very comfortable way of doing it, and I learned to produce my own records.
I think you learned to produce in different styles. For instance, you did your own versions of some of Phil Spector's classic records. You did a version, for instance, of Baby, I Love You, and you did all the parts. You did all the instruments, all the voices.
That was just as a hobby, you know. I never used to make records with a view to releasing them. It was just in the same way as... kids around now, they'll buy a little four-track cassette recorder, and in their bedroom they got a little mixer and they just have fun in it. And that's what I was doing, but in a real studio, although not a very advanced studio. But it was everything I did was just for the fun of it, just for the hell of it. And somewhere along the line, then later, it got released.
Although you're no longer remaking Spector records, I think now you've got the production techniques at your fingertips. And for instance, on the new record by Dion that you produced, there's one track, Always in the Rain, that sounds like you're really using some
Spector-inspired
techniques
there. That's right. Well, I just called up all my old tricks,
there,
really. I just dialed them up, and I thought, right, what did I used to do? And it was very easy. That came together very quickly, and it was a lot of fun.
Have you ever been produced by someone who you felt had you all wrong in the final mix or in the final production style?
No, I've never been produced by anyone, really, except with Jeff Lynne, but that was different. I mean, he wrote the song and he had it all in his head, so I was just doing the singing and playing the guitar. So, no, I've never been produced by anyone. It'd be awful. I'm quite opinionated in the studio, and I think unless it was the right person I'm working with, I'd clash with them.
Do you think it's a blessing to be able to produce yourself? Have you met a lot of performers who feel like their sound isn't the sound they wanted because they were with a producer who got it wrong?
Yeah, I don't know the whole thing about producers. What do they do? I don't know what a producer does. It can be anything from making the tea to completely to doing a Jeff Lynne and writing the song and writing the record, you know, the whole thing. It can be anything in between, and it is very difficult. It's a role. It's not a well-defined role.
Well, where on that scale do you fit?
I like to get with a band and feel that there's something that I can obviously contribute towards making a good record. Where they might be good at certain things, but in the studio they don't quite know how to get it down onto tape and things like that. I can't just go in cold and hope that I'm going to come up with something. I have to feel, yeah, there's definitely something I can contribute to this project, mm-hmm. and I would hate for anyone else to get the job. You know, that sort of thing.
Let's go out with something from your new record. How about Every Time I See Her?
That sounds good to me.
Thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.
Words fill out on an empty page. Every time I see her, my friends say better act your age. Every time I see her, I don't care if it seems I've lost my mind. Is it just imagination or does something crazy happen every time? I wanna hold her but I lose my grip. Every time I see her,
Dave Edmonds' new album, Closer to the Flame, is on Capitol Records. This is Fresh Air.